I want to consider today a time when a man named Pontius Pilate stood confronted with a choice. Jesus had been brought before him, and surely Pilate did not comprehend at the moment exactly the magnitude of the choice that he had to make, that before him was the Son of the God who had made him and the world, and the Roman Empire was under that God's ultimate control. But he knew at least that here stood an innocent man. An innocent man whose enemies nonetheless cried out for his destruction. And Pilate, as the man in power at the moment, had a decision to make.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment, but first we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
And once again, good morning, and I'm going to return now to the approach to Easter that we kind of got railroaded off, understanding why we did, but get back to that today. The songs that I asked Mike to use were selected with this message in mind. Every day, the world is filled with choices, and some of them are vitally, crucially important. Many of you will remember things similar to my own childhood. When I was 8, I was sure that I was going to be a big game hunter in Africa. That was the career path I intended to follow until I was about 10, when the space program was getting going and I decided I was going to be an astronaut. For sure, I was going to be an astronaut. When I was 12, I felt God placed the call on my heart to preach. And for a few minutes after that, I still considered forestry as a career, becoming a ranger, and perhaps that would have been an all right career, but I chose to follow the call that God had placed on my heart, and that has, I believe, turned out to be the right choice, the path of blessing and service for me. But we must make a choice. We can't do everything. We must do something. Bobby Braddock and Curly Putnam once wrote a country song. They were taking off of the old maxim, "You can't have your cake and eat it too." They rewrote that as, "You can't have your cake and eateth too," meaning that you've got to pick one or the other. And most of us know that dictate. There was a time when we were free to consider all sorts of different people as romantic interests, but mostly we narrowed the field and narrowed the field and finally choose one to be a life partner, a helper, a soulmate. And that choice too, when it is done in prayer and pursued in godliness, turns out to be the right path of blessing, health, strength, and godliness. But a choice must be made. You may be familiar with the old question about toilet paper. Do you hang it over or do you hang it under? First, everybody with any sense knows that over is the correct answer. Always over. I see a few, there we go, the over crowd. These days, the correct answer is, you've got toilet paper? Need to lock that away in a safe somewhere for sure, but life is filled with choices that we must make. I want to consider today a time when a man named Pontius Pilate stood confronted with a choice. Jesus had been brought before him, and surely Pilate did not comprehend at the moment exactly the magnitude of the choice that he had to make, that before him was the Son of the God who had made him and the world, and the Roman Empire was under that God's ultimate control. But he knew at least that here stood an innocent man. An innocent man whose enemies nonetheless cried out for his destruction. And Pilate, as the man in power at the moment, had a decision to make. Or did he? It seems that he thought he could find a way to dodge that very crucial choice. He had established a custom in recent years of releasing a prisoner to the Jews on their biggest and most important holiday of Passover. He had done this because when he first came in as Roman governor, he tried to lay down a heavy hand and crack down on this stubborn and obstinate people. It was not a plum position desired by the career bureaucrats to become the governor of Judea. He had tried to crack down on them, and that had only resulted in the kind of rioting and bloodshed that gets a governor in trouble with his superiors back in Rome, and Pilate had been in trouble. So he found himself needing to make peace with the Jews, and this was one of the things that he did. Each Passover, he would release to them a prisoner. And so to avoid either condemning or exonerating Jesus, he says, "I will release to you one prisoner, Jesus, or Barabbas, one who is already condemned to crucifixion, one whom you want to be condemned to crucifixion. Jesus or Barabbas, you choose." I don't know for sure what Pilate thought would happen. Again, I don't believe that he understood the magnitude of the situation or knew with any certainty the true identity of Jesus. Perhaps he thought that the man's obvious innocence would carry the day if you could get past his powerful enemies in the priesthood and let the people speak out. Or perhaps he just wanted off the hook. But I will tell you that there is no getting off the hook. Pilate only crafted for himself a different decision. Ensure that real justice is done, or make some sort of accommodation with a sinful, angry, hostile world. And he chose to make an accommodation with that sinful world. Jesus or Barabbas, you choose. The crowd itself had that choice to make then, Jesus or Barabbas. And we've known since we were children that they chose Barabbas, and we always regard this as surprising, but it's because we already love Jesus. Amen? There we go. We do realize the full context. He is the Son of God. Amen? And so it seems surprising to us that they cried out for Barabbas instead. Some things that we should know about Barabbas. The name Bar-Abba means son of the father. Many traditions assert that Barabbas' father had been a rabbi because they were frequently addressed as Abba, Father. Some think that it probably had a more spiritual significance, trying to point to him as a child of the living God, whichever. His name meant Son of the Father. So there is a superficial similarity, at least, between the names, the Son of the Father and the only begotten Son of the Father. That is there. I have mostly leaned on the Gospel according to John for this message, though the incident is recorded in all four Gospels. In John, the term used to describe Barabbas is a robber. And yet that's a kind of general term and not limited to just someone who has stolen things, and it's entirely possible that Barabbas had stolen things, I don't know. But when you read the other three Gospels, it makes it clear that the crime he was convicted of was insurrection, that he had either joined or led, perhaps, an insurrection in which he had shed Roman blood in the attempt to liberate, or at least throw a spark that would start the fire that would lead to the liberation of Israel from the tyranny of their Roman masters. There again, there is a superficial similarity to the mission of Jesus. Set us free! Set us free from the current political weight and might of Rome, or set us ultimately free from sin and death and the power of the fallen world and of Satan. Remember these superficial similarities between Jesus and Barabbas, the name and the mission. And as you remember, know that they are not really similar at all. For the one assumes a kingdom of this world, and the other a kingdom so entirely not of this present fallen world. But given the superficial similarities, Barabbas had this going for him. He tried to do it the way that so many had begged Jesus to do it, and Jesus had refused. So many expected that Jesus would lead the revolution that would throw the Romans out and set Israel up as politically autonomous and into the golden age in which the people of God ruled the world. So many cried out for Jesus to lead them in that rebellion. They were still thinking it as we come to the passage next week on the triumphal entry. They had wanted, they had prayed, they had begged for Jesus to do this very thing, and Jesus had refused, and whether successful or not, Barabbas had at least tried it. Tried it the way that they wanted it done. That has power in the world. And so perhaps it should not come to us as a complete surprise that the mob could be led to cheer for Barabbas. The world is full of choices, and some are more important and consequential than others. And as we consider a little more in depth this choice between Jesus and Barabbas, I want you to consider the spirit of this world that says, I would choose Jesus, I would choose him if only he would do things the way I want him to. And I'm going to go a step further, because I believe there are some people who believe they have chosen Jesus, but what they have done is to choose a pale shadow, shimmering, misty copy, with some superficial similarities to what the true Son of God is and what he came to do. These people believe they have chosen Jesus when in fact they have cried out for Barabbas. When you choose the prosperity Jesus, I choose Jesus because he promises to give me money. And that's what I want. I want wealth. I want it here. I want it now. And I've been told that that's what Jesus wants to give me, so I choose Jesus. If that's the Jesus you choose, you have sold out for the world and settled for so much less than he came to give you, and have, in essence, lifted your voice in favor of Barabbas. When we choose the power of Jesus, this is what I want. I want power right now. I want it here. I want it over these things that I can see. And I have been told that Jesus will provide me with that power, so I choose Jesus. No, no, you have not. You have called out for Barabbas, and you have settled for superficial similarities to this worldly version of what Jesus truly came to offer. I referenced the Braddock Putnam song, "You Can't Have Your Kate and Edith Too." If anybody ever is curious, sit down with me, we'll sing that song. I like the song, I think it's funny, I still know all the words. I can sing that song. I thought it was funny when I was a kid, I think it's funny now. But there's another song that I thought was funny when I was a kid. The title is "Plastic Jesus" by Billy Idol. And I will not trouble you with the lyrics, beyond to say that Idol cast Jesus as a good luck charm, a blind, uncaring figure who isn't really interested in what you do, do what you may. He just cast a general aura of good luck about you. When I was a child, I thought the song "Plastic Jesus" was funny. I can only tell you that as a man, I am unable to find the humor in it. And those who think they have chosen Jesus because he is their good luck charm have actually lifted their voice for Barabbas and settled for a pale, shadowy copy. We had as well simply to choose the world outright. I choose this world. I choose what I can see now. I choose what I can grasp now. And I reject Jesus altogether, because all these cries amount to lifting our voice in favor of Barabbas, in favor of political empowerment, in favor of personal privilege, in favor of things that are nothing. And if we choose them, we will end up with nothing. For if we choose this world condemned to the furnace of God's wrath, all the supposed gains will slip through our fingers like this wind, and we will be left with nothing. As we rapidly approach the time when we will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, let us understand that the world is filled with choices, and some are momentous and consequential. And this is the most important choice that we will ever make: this world or a trust in Jesus Christ that will lead us to the world to come. Or did you not know that friendship with this world is enmity with God? Forget Barabbas. He holds nothing for you. And choose Jesus. Set aside the fears that make you cling to this life and this reality as though they were the only things available. and choose Jesus. Relinquish all other hope and stand alone in Jesus Christ.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.